Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Board Capers, the official podcast of A Place to Hang Your Cape. And this week, we're going Greek! By which I mean we're comparing the Justice League with Greek gods. Not like we're going out to a Greek restaurant or something, and we're gonna like put on Greek fantasy dress. This intro is taking too long. Cue the music! Hello there, capers, and welcome to Pod Capers, the official podcast of A Place to Hang Your Cape. My name's Scott James Merridew, and this is a show where we talk about various geek and nerd-related topics, and I yell and scream and cry and rant and all that good stuff. And this week, as per usual, we are joined by a different guest. But this week, we got two very special guests. We are joined by my friend and cohort, my hetero life partner, Mark Russell. How are you, Mark?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for inviting me once again, Scott.
Not at all, not at all. And as is often the case, we are joined by our generalissimo, the man who would say, "No more! The line of the sand is drawn here, and we shall not cross it. We will fight them on the beaches. We will make this our Independence Day. We will destroy the Death Star. It's David Malofsky!"
I feel like I should say something really epic, but I just have nothing right now. So I'm just going to say, "Hey, Scott, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show."
Not at all, not at all. We keep you around to inspire us through your acts, not your words.
I like to think my words are inspiring as well.
Yeah, and speaking of inspiring words, you've got a rather special announcement, haven't you?
That I do, actually. It's a very, very special announcement. We are relaunching the official A Place to Hang Your Cape Patreon with some brand new rewards and bonus content.
Yes! All our Christmases have come at once!
So, Capers, for those of you who don't know, Patreon's basically like a virtual tip jar for us. It's to help us to raise some money to cover the cost of running the site and keep bringing Scott's voice to your ears.
You hear that, kiddies? I could go away forever.
So it's basically, you know, you pledge a certain amount every month, and in return you get some awesome rewards. We've got things, so if you have any amount donated, even as low as $1 a month, and come on, who can't afford $1 a month? If you have something to listen to a podcast on, you can afford this. So you'll get access to exclusive podcasts that we'll be recording just for Patreon, exclusive content, videos as well.
Not available to the general public, you lucky so-and-sos.
Exactly, and you'll get your name on the patrons page on aplacehangyourcape.com.
Immortalized for all eternity!
So we got some other really great rewards. Some of them are promotional opportunities, like having Scott read out an ad at the end of an episode of Pod Capers. We also have the parody songs that Scott and Mark record for their lovely Disney episodes. Those are episodes 4 and 8, if you haven't heard them. They are amazing.
You're making me blush.
So check out our musical episodes, and if you like them, you can donate, and we'll send you MP3 versions of those songs each month. And we've got some really other awesome stuff. He wants Scott to rant about how much he hates you, which I've been on the end of, and it's actually quite fun. So you can get that, and there's a lot more. There's also some merchandise. So you can find that all at patreon.com/ap2hyc, and you can pledge today.
Yeah, pledge today to help us keep the site running, keep the podcast going, and so that you can get special rewards, like, as David said, like me insulting you.
You should be so lucky.
Yeah. So I think that's rather exciting, don't you?
Mark?
Oh, yeah. I was like, yes, just nodding enthusiastically as you two promote our ideals to the people.
It's all you can do. Soon everyone will nod enthusiastically. Everyone!
Oh, dear. Someone help us.
I've had a taste of power, and I like it!
Quick, David, fire him.
I wish I could, but his voice is just so silky and smooth, I don't think I could replace him ever.
Thank you!
This is the voice of the Mr. Ons.
Oh,
Rantaron.
The Rantaron, yes! Rantaron. I like it!
Or Hysterion.
I preferred Rantarons.
Good.
Now, before we go on any more tangents about various marionette-related escapades, we're going to talk about what we're actually here to talk about. Now, there is an article on the site called The Justice League as the Greek Gods. It's a very popular article, isn't it, David?
Yeah, it's almost always in our top five articles, which is surprising considering it is 4 years old. So for 4 years running, it's been one of our most popular articles.
Maybe that's because it's written by your good self, you talented so-and-so.
I like to think so.
And basically, what the article is about, it's about comparing the various members of the JLA to the various Greek gods, which is, the comparison between superheroes and, you know, the legendary heroic figures of old is not a new thing, but honestly, reading this article, the comparisons stack up rather nicely.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote this, like I said, a few years ago. And it was maybe the second Percy Jackson was coming out, and I was big into Percy Jackson at the time, and I was just reading the books and thinking about how, like, you know, actually a lot of these characters, especially the way they're dressed in the Percy Jackson books, are very similar to the JLA, and I'm just sort of thinking about how, you know, the DC and Marvel comics have really become sort of the new myths for the new era. You know, they're the same. It's very similar to the Greco-Roman gods in a lot of different ways, and I think as we go through the list, you'll definitely see what we're talking about.
Yeah, and that's basically what we're gonna do, Capers. We're gonna go through the list and just compare and contrast and talk about the various Greek characters, the various JLA characters, and why the Greek characters are always better than the JLA characters because the JLA characters are shit. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off on that rant.
All right, so before we begin, Mark, I just want to ask, how do you feel about forcing Scott to talk about DC characters for the next hour or so?
Well, I'm somewhere between rubbing my hands gleefully and grinning sadistically at how angry Scott is going to become.
Oh, you have not even the slightest clue how angry I am going to get! My rage will be comparable to that of a supernova with a bad head cold. My passion and my vim and my vigor shall know no bounds, sir. You will rue the day that you ticked me off by making me talk about fucking Superman.
You agreed to this.
You're right, I did. I've got no one to blame but myself.
Shall we get started then?
You should feel sorry for about it, yes.
Yeah, let's just get started. I think we should, as usual, start at the top with the head honcho, the big cheese, the main man, the guy with the massive beard and the guy with the stupid underwear on the outside. It's Zeus and Superman.
Just for those playing at home, if you do want to follow along, we will be going right along the article, which will have a link. We'll have a link to the original article in the show notes. So if you do want to follow along at home, you can. And let's start with...
Yeah. Now, so the comparison between Zeus and Superman. Now, in terms of raw sheer power, I think there's a very good case for comparison here. Zeus can smite people with a single lightning bolt, and Superman, as the two Injustice games have shown us, can do some really bad shit. He can smite people in his own way. It's actually quite scary. However, where I would like to draw a bit of a, shall we say, juxtaposition, is in character and temperament. Can you see what I'm getting at? Because see, Zeus was kind of an angry, kind of a hothead, kind of a hypocrite, and also liked to fuck anything that moved. Superman, not so much. I mean, again, though, in the Injustice games, perhaps a bit. But in most other cases, he's literally, his persona is a mild-mannered guy.
I mean, yeah, but if you think about it, it's like, you know, they both disguise themselves as normal men so that they can walk among the mortals.
Yeah, you but know, when Zeus weird, does but, it, it's so that he can have sex with nymphs.
And when Clark Kent does it, it's so he can have sex with Lois Lane. I don't really see the problem here.
That is a fair point, well made. Although, I think you know, Mark? the Lois Lane thing was just an added bonus. I think the main reason why he did it was so that he could get a job at the Daily Planet. My God, Zeus in a newspaper! Oh.
How doesn't he break her? I'm just wondering, because they're both gods, Hitty. How do they not break whoever they're making out with?
Well, I think
there's
with Zeus...
There's a brilliant article on Superman's... let's say Superman's genitals.
It was something Niven.
A famous article, yeah.
It's, Larry Niven? Like
It's basically they work out that he would have to use like a golden kryptonite condom or something, but that would take all his powers away.
I think
away.
When that was written, there was no golden kryptonite, so it was just like a regular kryptonite thing. Well, frankly, maybe golden kryptonite would make much more sense. But because if he didn't, he'd basically blow her head off.
Yeah, I think, isn't that the line from Mallrats? He blow a load straight through her back.
that is the line. Yeah, it's a. And it's true, because, I mean, Superman has the ability to lift a fucking building. That muscles, I mean, it's, we're getting into uncomfortable territory here.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have asked this question.
Yeah, Mark, come on. but pulling it back, you know, it is that they're both the leader of their respective groups. They are sort of the ruler of the sky, especially, you know, if you think about it from that perspective. And pretty much have unlimited power.
Yes, except Zeus doesn't have a bunch of really stupid weaknesses that they have to cram in there for plot contrivance, because otherwise he's unbeatable.
Right. I mean, look, all these things, they're really, for almost all of them, except for I think one, which we'll get to in a few minutes, are pretty service comparisons. But I think the fact that you can make any comparison whatsoever is really the key here. And if you try to compare the Greek gods to the Avengers, I think you'd have a lot of more trouble. This isn't exactly Captain America. Yeah, but Thor, I feel like you can say that, but then Thor isn't really the leader. You know, it's that sort of thing where it starts to break down.
Yeah, actually, yeah, thinking about it. And it does make you wonder, was all this done on purpose? Did the writers over at DC think, hey, you know what, let's get these characters together? Oh, look, they compare to the Greek gods. Is that on purpose, do you think?
With a few of them, yeah, I absolutely think it's on purpose. So let's move on to the next one, which is...
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Right, so the next one...
Fasten your safety belts.
One is the ruler of the underworld, shrouded in darkness, forever eclipsed by doom, gloom, and torment. The other is Hades. Yeah. It's Batman and Hades. I mean... Okay, let me put it... both are kind of dark. Both are very grim. This is sort of like a reverse of the last one. Because whilst the last one, in terms of ability, they were similar, but not in terms of temperament... Here, they're similar in terms of temperament, but not in terms of abilities. Because, I mean, Hades is the ruler of the underworld, and death is kind of his thing. Batman doesn't kill people. In fact, he goes on and 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 on about how he doesn't kill people.
RIP head users. Goodbye, anybody.
Yeah, it's... I like the fact that Batman doesn't kill people. I like the fact that he has a strong moral code. It's one of the few things I do like about him. But you know what? Spider-Man doesn't kill people, and he doesn't feel the need to go on about it every minute of every fucking day. And granted, he has superpowers... There's plenty of other superheroes that don't have superpowers that don't fucking kill. I mean, come on. You once in a while, fine. Or when there's some sort of moral quandary. Like in Injustice 2, again, talking about this game, the idea that Superman says, oh, you don't go too far enough. And Batman says, oh, you go too far. And it's that philosophical thing. And that's fine. That's a good place to have that debate. But it's every fucking time. I don't kill. I didn't use guns. Hap-de-dup-de-dup. I'm the Batman.
Mark, I think we've made a huge mistake. We've opened up this huge door for Scott to just rant about it.
I knew we should have invited someone else to do it. No, no, you've talked now. No, but lock him up. No, no, no. Because you're going on ranting about how Batman isn't killing stuff. I think the comparison that works between Hades and Batman is that both emphasize fear. Hades...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Emphasizes the fear of death, and Batman emphasizes the fear of, well, because he's Batman. People find him terrifying, strangely enough.
One of the other comparisons that I really liked, so this is more for Pluto, who's the Roman version of the god, but Pluto gets all his power from riches, from gems in the ground. So you could sort of have that power where, like, Batman gets his power from being rich too.
He is obscenely rich.
Yeah, anyone who's rich enough can be Batman. If I won the lottery, I could be Batman. But there is one other comparison that I would like to make, which I find tricky. Well, it's sort of a comparison, but maybe not. I don't know. So the story goes that Hades, oh, he's kind of lonely down the underworld. So he sees, like, is it Demeter?
Persephone.
So it's Demeter's daughter, Persephone. And thinks, oh, I fancy me a piece of that. So he kidnaps her and brings her to the underworld. And there she stays, only being allowed out during the summer.
And spring.
And spring, I guess. So, Batman took a couple of young kids under his wing and sort of trained them, but he didn't really kidnap. Oh, did he? Oh,
here we go again.
This is a little touchy here. He's not having sex with them either. Can we please?
There was a panel in one of the comics with him and Robin waking up in pajamas in the same bed.
Right,
that was in the comics. It's canon.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have known Scott since university, and this has been his sole reason for hating Batman, this stupid one panel between Batman and Robin in a bed together.
He is that a millionaire. He has a big house. He can afford more than one bed.
That is the whole basis of this comparison. Why hates Batman? That's it. Thank you, Cleveland. There'll be no encores.
There are other reasons.
Sex lives in this,
Anyway.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Anyway, there is Gotham and the Underworld, they are quite similar because they're places for criminals to be punished, where debauchery thrives. I mean, come on, look at half the people that they've got in Gotham. You could easily say that they're, I don't know, demons or criminals that are trapped in the underworld, and Batman and Hades are both watching over them as, quote, as sort of their god, in a manner of speaking.
Yeah, I think the one other thing is, in a lot of the stories, and especially, I'm really going to go with Disney's Hercules just to double down on pissing off Scott.
Right.
Hades is kind of like that outsider that the other gods don't really trust. And that's sort of how Batman is with the JLA. Like, a lot of the time in the comics, there's been times when he's not really a full member of the JLA. He's sort of like, he's kind of around when they need him, but he won't always be there. And it's sort of the same thing. Like, nobody really trusts him, and it's that kind of thing.
Yeah. Putting aside my little mental breakdown of you mentioning Hercules just for a second.
Oh, I had to do it.
I will save it. I will save it. I will save it. I will repress. I will not give in to my rage. I think it's time we move on.
Okay, fair.
Unless, do we have anything else you want to say about Hades? Either of you?
They both have dogs.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Ace the fucking Bat-Hound! And so...
Well, I did it again.
You nearly gave me an out, but I No! Why do superheroes... Okay, superheroes can have pets, but the pets cannot be fucking superheroes. The one exception is Falcon and, like, Red Wing, and that's pushing it. That is fucking pushing it. Again, with Injustice, I saw this guy, like, Atrocitus come forward, and he had a fucking cat with him just as a Red Lantern. That is not intimidating. That is... Stupid! Stupid and weird! Stop it, DC! Stop it! I command you!
I really like Crypto, the super dog.
Ah, fucking super dog! For fucking the super, super powder and put it to sleep!
Up and away!
We're only two down and already I'm exhausted!
Moving on to number three, we have, I think the most obvious of all, and probably the one that would say, yep, that's true, which is Poseidon and Aquaman.
Oh, fuck.
There you go.
Aquaman
is clearly Poseidon.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much, they could have named the character Poseidon, and not much more would change, except for the fact that he would still look ridiculous. I don't care if you've got a claw hand or a hook hand, or if you don't wear the trunks anymore, you look stupid, Aquaman. You look stupid. Namor looks down on you with contempt, and he's fucking Namor. He has wings on his feet, and he still manages to be more of a badass than you. That's how low you are, Arthur Curry.
Honestly, I think Aquaman looks better in some versions than Namor. Like, Namor is like a little... Namor is just Spock in a Speedo with winged feet.
Yeah, it's... yeah, pretty much, yeah. But so sticking with Poseidon and Aquaman, this is one of the ones... Actually, I think in terms of temperament and abilities, they're both pretty much the same. Obviously, abilities is very obvious. But in terms of temperament... Aquaman used to be, like, really nice. Oh, help me see friends! He used to be that, but nowadays, he was always a very grim and very vengeful person. He was, like, very imperious and, like, I rule the sea, I don't trust the surface dwellers. Fna, fna, fna. And Poseidon could be kind of a vengeful bastard at times.
Mm-hmm. You're not wrong. Although I think the main difference there, especially in temperament, is more the way that they're seen by the others, where Poseidon is seen as perfectly capable and one of the most powerful, you know, he's one of the big three, you know, of the brothers, whereas Aquaman's sort of seen as, you know, a second stringer at best.
I don't know, maybe it's because of all the times, like, if you offend Poseidon, you're going to get turned into a big black rock or something.
Yeah.
And there's a... Is there anything more that we can really say?
Mark?
Look at the article, and you got the pictures of the two characters side by side, and there's literally no difference apart from one's got a beard.
Yep.
Yeah, they've both got tridents, they're both wearing fishy things, one of them's got octopus legs. If you make a Little Mermaid comparison, I will end you.
You... Fortunate soul.
No.
In pain.
No.
In need.
No.
This one wanted to be Vinder, this one wants to get the girl. Do I help them?
Yes, indeed.
Moving swiftly on, we're going to the next one, which is Wonder Woman and Hera. Now,
The Hera and Wonder Woman pairing was doubly hard when I came up with this list, mostly because I couldn't think of a good one to put either one with originally. I think Wonder Woman doesn't really work as well with Athena as the choice that I ultimately chose for her, which is something I think you'll see when we get there. Similar with Hera, obviously both of these characters needed to be on the list, and ultimately I decided to put them together because they are functionally the mother of the group. Hera more literally than Wonder Woman, but if Zeus and Superman are the fathers, then Wonder Woman and Hera are definitely the mothers. And it's also that a lot of what Hera brings to the table is tradition and family, and I think that that's something that Wonder Woman also brings as well, especially the traditions of the Amazons.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way of doing it. There's really only one other comparison to another Greek person that you could make, and do you know who that is?
The Amazons themselves?
No! Xena Warrior Princess!
Fair enough.
Can we have a Xena movie instead of a Wonder Woman movie? Can we have that?
Get Lucy Lawless back in the skirt.
I'm more about the chakra things. Not the chakra. Chakram.
The little throwing disc.
The little circle things. Yeah, I like those. But anyway, so there's really not much more we could talk about. Mark, any comments for Wonder Woman / Hera?
Well, Hera is very much would you say devoted wife, because she seems to hate her husband most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, as we said before, he fucks anything that moves.
Yeah, and she's quite loyal to Zeus, even though he's not loyal to her, and she'll kill anybody or curse anybody. But she's not exactly the best mother in the world, because when in Greek mythology, when Hephaestus was born, she chucked him off Mount Olympus because he was ugly. So there is some vanity there. I mean, I wouldn't say ultra feminism, but she is quite. I want to put it slightly. Unstable in some areas.
I think that's a fair comparison. But you know, it's tough to be a god. Don't start singing. I think we're going to move on. Although I do like that movie. But we're going to move on. And now we're going to talk about Artemis. And Artemis. Wait. Oh, this was easy, wasn't it?
And it's triply easy because I think she's also Artemis in Roman. The Roman god is also called Artemis.
Fucking hell, jeez.
Yeah, she's called Diana. The Roman one's called Diana.
Fucked it up. I was thinking of Wonder Woman.
Wrong one.
No, the Wonder Woman's Juno in a.
No, I know, but Wonder Woman is Diana. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh god, we're so confused. So yeah, basically, lady likes to hunt, bow and arrow, comparison, go.
It's not lady, it is maiden, it's a young girl.
Oh, I do apologize, maiden!
But this is going to get into the reason why I chose Artemis the first time around, and also why I'm choosing a different person today.
Oh, plot twist, capers!
So... Artemis, the character from Young Justice, so again, I wrote this about 4 years ago, which is when Young Justice was out the first time, and it's coming back! Thank the Lord!
Yeah, damn you, by the way, because you got me into Young Justice. Damn you!
And it's coming back.
Okay. Yay! I was fine not liking it. I was just fine having seen like two episodes and hating it because one of the characters called his big monster guy an incredible bulk. I was happy! And then you made me watch the rest of it, you bastard!
And it was good, right?
Yes, it was good! Yes, it was good. Oh, let's make fun of Scott because he likes something done by DC. Ha 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 ha! Yes, oh, he's such a hypocrite! I get it!
Ladies and gentlemen, we have that on the record. Scott likes something that's from DC. Mark, you bearing witness.
Let's quick play Odie to Joy. Then again, Scott is recording this, so he could easily well delete it from the actual episode.
You're right! I could! So yeah, so who are you changing the comparison to?
Yeah, so originally I chose Artemis, and so what I was getting at is that, again, when I made this list, some of the ones were harder, and it was a lot of the female, matching the goddesses to the female heroes. So this one was sort of just, I kind of put it in because it was such an easy way to do it. And obviously, if you're choosing to name yourself after a god, quite literally, then you're going to take on aspects of that persona, etc. So, however, I think that, again, when I wrote this, Arrow had only just finished season one, the TV show.
Ah.
So now that we're in season five, I'd actually say that Thea Queen fits into this role quite nicely. Having taken on the identity of Speedy in later seasons of Arrow. Yeah. Also, the fact that she's Ollie's sister, which is, you know, Artemis and Apollo are the twins, that actually fits in quite nicely as well.
Oh, yeah, a bit of a spoiling one of a later. We weren't trying to give too much away. Wow. I think that's a very good comparison. I would have said Huntress. That would have been my thing, because, I mean, first of all, Artemis, the Greek person, is a hunter. She's like the goddess of the hunt, and Huntress. And I think that might be an equal comparison. Do you think,
Mark? Want to weigh in as the tiebreaker?
Well, ironically, I've just stumbled across a character called Artemis of Banamigdal, who, ironically, to add more confusion, becomes Wonder Woman in the comics.
Fucking hell, DC! Name your characters something else!
There was mass confusion.
Okay, so, you know, let's call it a threefer, okay? Artemis could compare to the character of Artemis, the character of Speedy, and the character of Huntress.
Fair enough.
Yeah, well, let's just move on before my brain implodes. Okay, and now we've got the God of War! It's Ares and Kratos! Wait, no, not Kratos.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hawkman! Yeah, Hawkman, based on Egyptian sort of thing, so it's more closely associated with Horus, but yeah, there's a lot to be said for this. They both wear helmets. They're both kind of, shall we say, bloodthirsty. Would that be fair?
I think that's fair. I was going to go with warmongery.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If you carry around a mace, that's not a nice, fun day out for you. You are prepping for something big.
The other reason I chose Hawkman specifically was, like Ares, he has a kind of a complicated love life.
Oh, yeah, it's what's her face? Aphrodite.
Yeah, Aphrodite and Ares, and of course, Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff going on there that I don't care about, Legends of Tomorrow. I just do not care. Did anyone think that went anywhere, that one season?
Second season was better, but that's not saying much. I don't know. I think it's fine.
I gave up after 5 episodes.
you're probably better off for it.
Stuck around because it was fucking Rory from Doctor Who with a laser revolver. Like, yeah. Gladly I will watch this. And then he was gone in second season, so it was like, I'm out.
Yeah. Everyone calls him Doctor Who Cares.
Okay.
But it's also that, for as long as we're talking about Legends of Tomorrow, I always say if you watch one show on the CW superhero shows, watch Arrow. If you watch two, watch Flash, and don't watch anymore.
Yeah. So long, Supergirl. You will not be missed.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, they're all fine. I just think that it's, you know, those are the better. Anyway, we're getting way off topic.
Should anything else we could say about Hawkman? Because I honestly don't know that much about the character.
Neither do I. I know a bit about Ares. I mean, he's a dick, basically.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're not going to be the God of War and be a nice guy, are you? It's so rare that people fall into that position that are genuinely decent people.
Mm-hmm. Again, this one was more complicated because Ares is actually a character in the DC Comics.
Ah!
Rumored to be the villain behind the Wonder Woman movie that's coming up.
Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense.
Yeah, played by David Thewlis.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the guy who was
boring guy in Iron Fist.
No.
That's David Wenham.
That's Professor Lupin.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's a good actor. I could see that. I always pictured someone because again, in the Justice Games, he's like a big, giant, horned guy. But okay, fine, sure.
Kind of like the animal poster behind you.
Yes, but in case you were wondering, Capers, I have a poster of the Muppet animal behind me because he's my spirit animal. Drumsticks!
Drumsticks! Drumsticks!
Oh, that was really good.
Thank you.
That was good. And on that note, we shall move on. Now we're going to talk about people who forge stuff. So, of course, it could only be Hephaestus and Forge from the X-Men. No, not really. It's Green Lantern. Yeah. I mean, physically speaking, this doesn't make a lot of sense. Hephaestus is a big, burly blacksmith with a lame leg. And Green Lantern, depends which character it is. He's just a guy. But aside from that, yeah, it's, you know, he creates things. He is an artist with steel, and Green Lantern is an artist with green energy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of the idea behind this one. I think this was one of this might have been the third or fourth one that I actually came up with, really the one that solidified the list for me, that if I could find it, you know, this one was the one where I was, you know, generating the idea for the article. I was just thinking, you know, maybe who would be Hephaestus? And when I was like, oh, obviously it's Green Lantern, I was like, okay, I can probably finish out this list of 12. But it's also, yeah, it's like, you know, he creates all the weapons and tools for the team, you know, Hephaestus does. And I guess Green Lantern, you know, he creates them only for himself, but he's, you know, it still kind of works. And I think that they're each also, like, their main, like, limitation is just their imagination. So if they can imagine it, they can pretty much do it.
And the color yellow.
Yeah.
And wood.
So, you know, number two pencils and he's gone.
Yeah, God. And of course, there's another comparison we can make with when Hephaestus, quite famously, went crazy, blew up Sparta, and then became the villain known as Parallax. Yeah.
I don't remember that happening.
Yeah, although I do. This is one of the few things about like DC. I like that because it gave us the gift of Kyle Rayner, who's the only Green Lantern I like.
Hmm. Although Hephaestus is a volcano god, so that you could compare it to Green Lantern's mental breakdown.
Fair enough. Yeah. I could see that. God.
For those of you keeping track, that is now two things that Scott has agreed to liking about DC in one episode of Podcaper.
One character in one version of another character that isn't even the main guy of that character
Doesn't matter, still counts.
Ugh.
We're doing pretty well.
Kyle Rayner was... Okay, so here's my thing about Kyle Rayner. Okay, Kyle Rayner was a graphic artist. He does, like, concept art for cartoons and toys and things like that. And so... Hal Jordan is a fucking test pilot, okay? He's creating, like, okay, planes in the air and trains and all sorts of cool, maybe a few cartoony stuff. Kyle Rayner was creating, like, fucking mechs and all these cool inventive stuff. And I kept thinking, like, if you have a choice between giving a ring that creates solid matter using purely imagination Are you going to give it to a test pilot or a guy who uses his imagination for a job? Give it to fucking Kyle Rayner.
That makes a lot of sense.
I'm happy to debate who's the best Green Lantern with you, but I don't really think this is the right time, Scott.
But I will say
that I actually prefer John Stewart. I think he's the best conglomeration of the two of them, where he's an architect, so he uses his imagination, but he was also in the army, so he's got that sort of background.
Obviously, I didn't know that. I wasn't that familiar with him. Okay, yeah, sure, yeah, I liked it. Well, he's got to do something now that The Daily Show is with Trevor Noah. I made an easy joke. So I think on that note, I think we're going to move on again. And now we're going to talk about another Archer, Apollo and Green Arrow. And yeah, this is another pretty easy one.
Yeah, I mean, this one was, again, one of the more obvious ones. And I think I even hinted at it before, and I'm not even... you know, don't even mind having said it twice, having already said it, that it's, you know, obviously he's, you know, he's an archer, he's a bit of a rebel. Apollo's often teenage as well, and, you know, sort of like a bit more rebellious. Obviously, Green Arrow has had his stints with as a communist, etc.
Oh, yeah. Well, that mustache, my God.
Yeah, guys... and both of them are blonde, so you got that going for you.
Yeah, and oh, then, and of course, Apollo famously had a kid called Connor, who then became the new Green Arrow after the other one blew up.
And Green Arrow, obviously, is famous for being a good singer.
Yeah.
He is?
No,
well, you know, in various things, he's voiced by Alan Tudyk, who I'd like to hear him sing. Go on. That'll be interesting.
Pretty sure in the article I embedded a link to Green Arrow singing something.
Yeah, I can see that link. Or you'll be able to hear that capers when you follow the link in the show notes, as I'm sure you will. And, yeah, you pretty much ticked all the boxes for Apollo. No chariot that I'm aware of. There's no Arrowmobile.
Pretty sure there is.
Well, there probably is. You're right, because it's DC, and of course there's going to be a fucking Arrowmobile. Of course there fucking is.
I'm the goddamn Green Arrow. I'm going to call my car whatever the goddamn like.
Yeah. It's so stupid. Mark, anything else you'd like to say about Green Arrow?
I've never watched Green Arrow, the show. You can shoot me if you want. I don't care.
No, it's not worth shooting you over. Trust me.
But yeah, Hitler likes... But he is more of Green Apollo is kind of like a character who is kind of sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad, he's mixed between, and Green Arrow falls into that category quite a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah. They've done some questionable stuff, I suppose, but that makes him for slightly more interesting characters. I mean, Apollo is one of the most studied, talked about, and researched of the Greek gods, possibly with the exception of that guy with the lute. What's his face?
Pan?
No, not Pan. The other one. Something.
Apollo is the one. Wait,
Orpheus?
I got it. I got Orpheus.
Orpheus, that's it. Yeah, I know who Orpheus is. That's about it.
He's just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy. Okay.
He's very confident with his mother.
No, that's Oedipus.
Oh, okay.
That's entirely different. No! No. Moving on! Dear God, sweet Lord, moving on. We've got enough weird sex stuff on this.
Take a bathroom break quickly.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
So moving on. I think it's now time to talk about one of the more interesting Greek gods and one of the more interesting DC characters. This is Athena and Oracle.
Yeah, so I think as I hinted earlier, I struggled to pick the best choice for Athena, and I think that Oracle is ultimately the one who fits best because she is, at the end of the day, the one who fights with intelligence and information, and she is the tactician for the JLA.
Yeah, I really can't think of anyone that doesn't really fit that role better. Maybe it's because I don't know that many DC characters, or maybe it's because DC don't write that many good female characters. Who knows? It could be either. But it's very good. I always kind of liked the character of Barbara Gordon, both as Batgirl and as Oracle, and kind of interested to see what Joss Whedon's going to do with that, if he ever gets around to that.
Hmm.
That'll be interesting. But yes, she fights with her mind, uses strategy and tactics. Couple of other things. I mean, so last time I checked, Oracle didn't have a mechanical owl.
No, but she could build one.
She could build a mechanical owl.
She was also going up against the Court of Owls. Does that count?
I guess. I don't know.
Mark?
Scott, did you just make a Clash of the Titans joke there?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, you have my thumbs up for that.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was another easy joke, but all right then. Yay!
I also want to just point out that I am specifically talking about Oracle and not Batgirl.
I get that.
It's Barbara Gordon as... No. But just to clarify for, our capers, our listeners.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. There's going to be nothing here like what happened in the animated Killing Joke.
Nope. What animated Killing Joke? I don't remember that happening.
Good answer. What animated Killing Joke? Fucking hell. So, actually, she's a calm, rational demeanor. Although, Athena wasn't always a calm cookie. There was that one thing where this other lady could spin, silk very well, so she turned her into a spider.
Oh, Arachne.
Yeah.
Who currently exists in the Spider-Man musical.
Does whatever a spider...
Spider-Gwen can, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there was also another character, Silk, who's another female. There's so many spider people out there. God damn.
Yeah. There's actually now there's a comic that's the three spider women teaming up in interdimensionally.
Yeah, because there was other spider women as well before all this happened. There was Jessica Drew spider woman, something Carpenter spider woman, something Franklin spider woman. Jeez. Bloody hell. Oh, that was the MC2... Spider Girl. Yeah, it's oh no,
we're talking about DC today.
We're talking about DC. We get so distracted. Do you need to take some ADHD medication or something? Jeez.
I get to jiddling to stop all my fiddling. I just takes my Ritalin.
Oh god. Oh dear. But no, seriously, it's a serious mental disorder and you should be taking it absolutely seriously. But moving on. Yeah, I don't think there's really much more we could say about Athena. Mark?
I don't recall Athena ever getting shot and being in a wheelchair. I mean, she doesn't get crippled at all in the mythology. But that.
Well, they didn't have guns in Greek times. Well, ancient Greek times.
Well, unless you make some very long stretch comparison between Achilles and Oracle, but that's taking things a bit too far.
Ooh. I mean, he got shot in the heel. That did kill him, but it's not exactly...
Are you saying that she has an Achilles spine?
Ouch.
Oh, God. I think it's time we move swiftly on before we get angry letters. And so now, what we're going to compare is... We're going to compare two lovely ladies. We're going to compare Black Canary and... Aphrodite, Aphrodite, Aphrodite! The goddess of love!
The goddess of love!
Yeah. That's never liked that show as a kid, but I've heard that theme, and goddamn, I love that. That's going to be my ringtone.
voiced by Phoebe, your friends, I believe.
Yeah, voiced by Lisa Kudrow. But anyway, so Aphrodite, very the goddess of love, as we said, and is it very beautiful, usually depicted naked, rising out of a fucking shell, like some sort of hippie, I don't know.
That's how she was born.
And Black Canary, usually depicted in a really poor choice of wardrobe. Fishnet, tights, short black leather coat, and a top that, let's be honest, doesn't leave a lot to the imagination. And frankly, any criminal would just point a square at the chest, she's dead. And just point, shoot her, she's dead.
See, I always thought of it as it's a good distraction technique.
Oh no, fuck that! Fuck that! They use that same thing for fucking Red Sonja with a metal bikini thing. And so let's say, yeah, there are probably a few criminals that are going to be kind of distracted. But you know what? For every one criminal that is going to be distracted, there's going to be five that aren't. Also, what happens if she fights a gay guy? What if there's a gay supervillain running around and he's not going to fucking care? What if she fights another woman?
No, but he's going to be like, oh girl, we need to talk about that.
Be that as it may, when she finds a straight woman, she's not going to get At worst, she's going to get, like, smarter and cuddled. This defense of putting female superheroes in skimpy outfits does not hold any weight. I think it was an article or it was like a picture thing on the internet I've seen a couple of times. It's like a redesign of various female superheroes to give it, make their outfits still look cool, still look stylish, but also practical. And Black Canary was on that list.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're talking about. I agree that a lot of the female costumes are revealing at best and misogynistic at worst. But I also think that that specific article you're talking about, I think there are better versions of these costumes there. I don't think necessarily the ones in that article were the best. A lot of them were a bit too focused on being tactical and lost a bit of the cool factor for it.
I mean, fair enough, but I mean, it's just... Yeah, you can be sexy and still not dress like a fucking idiot. You can do both. Hear that, kids? That's a life lesson for you right there.
Indeed.
And, so Aphrodite, does she have a sonic scream?
No, but I think she's a goddess of... She's got some song elements to her or something. Okay. Or a seductive voice? I have here she wields her beauty as a weapon and can bring men to their knees just by the sound of her voice.
Okay. Blimey, who does she sound like? I'm trying to think of like a great comparison to make.
Lisa Kudrow?
Fine, Lisa Kudrow. Yes, everyone who listens to Lisa Kudrow immediately falls to their knees.
Smelly cat, smelly cat. What are they feeding you?
Moving on. Okay, we're in the home stretch now, and now we're talking about two speedsters. We're talking about Hermes and the Flash. And, yeah, I mean, the Flash doesn't carry around a staff with two snakes on it, but, yeah, this is a really good comparison. In fact, multiple versions of the Flash are good comparisons, because, of course, you've got Jay Garrick with that stupid hat.
Yeah, I mean, this is another example like Aquaman where the JLA character is clearly based on the god.
Yeah. Maybe from the little lightning bolts on the side of his head, just the fact that he's speed, and the fact that they're really nice guys. Hermes, from what I can tell, was one of the nicer Greek gods. Bit of a mischief maker, but nothing really beyond that. Same with Barry Allen and more notably Kid Flash and Impulse. So I think this is a pretty good comparison to make, Mark.
I suppose it also helps that Hermes is the god of sports and athletics.
Yeah, and the Flash would win the 100 meter dash every time.
He'd be across the finish line before they even start.
Well, that's a false start, Mark. He'd be disqualified.
No, it's just bang and it's over.
Well, that's after it happens. He said before it starts, so yeah. I called out your logic there, Russell.
Oh dear. Please forgive me for like my sins.
Yeah, you will be forgiven in time. And there's really not much else I can think of to talk about. David, any other comparisons or things that don't really quite add up?
Not really. I mean, again, I think the one thing is Hermes is also the god of thieves, and obviously Barry Allen is a cop, or at least a forensic scientist. So, you know, I think they're a bit at odds there, but otherwise I feel like the comparison is pretty much perfect.
Yeah, I'd say so. So we're at the end, ladies and gentlemen. This is the grand finale, the one you have all been waiting for. I can't emphasize how important this last one could be, because this last one, I mean, it will blow your tiny minds, capers. It will blow them to the stratosphere. It is Dionysus and the Martian Manhunt. Wait, what? Manhunter?
Everyone knows Martian Manhunter is just totally the party animal of the Justice League. I mean, I just don't remember the last time I saw him without a flaming drink in his hand. Wait, no, that's not right.
Yeah, I think, David, at the end of this article, you sort of gave up, didn't you?
Well, look, like I said a couple times in this It's really hard to find 12 characters that perfectly match, and I think, you know, on this list, I think I did a pretty good job, but finding a character who's, like, the drunk of the gang on the Justice League, that's a bit of
I've got a suggestion!
Wait. Stretch. Plastic Man!
I was gonna say Plastic Man, yeah! Because he's basically an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably the best one. My other choice would probably be Booster Gold.
Oh, fuck Booster Gold.
Mark, you said you had another suggestion as well, right?
I did, but you've both kind of based it on the fact that the drunk guy. I keep getting
Dionysus.
Thank you, Dionysus. I should know how to pronounce his name. I'm nuts about Greek mythology. Anyway, you've both based it on the fact that he's the god of, well, drunkenness, but he's also the god of ritual madness, the theater, that sort of thing. So my alternative is breaking the rules, Dionysus and the Joker.
Oh, that's interesting. Curveball.
Because breaking the rules we established, but if you think about it,
on this podcast, there are no rules.
As long as, well, there are, you've got to rant at least once per episode.
Yeah, well, that's more of a compulsion than a rule.
Yeah, because if you think about it, Dionysus is... I think he was actually born human, or he was a demigod. And he is... And the Joker is quite... abstract the correct term? He's quite colourful and mad and creative.
And he went through a transformative process at one point?
Yeah, so if for trans... And you, they both went
exactly like Dionysus, right? He fell into a vat of wine or something.
That's possibly exactly what happened. Yes.
Yes. Hades scared him, and he fell off a balcony and transformed into Jack Nicholson. There you go. And obviously the whole clown thing. The Joker puts on an act for Batman every time they meet because he is a performer. Also referring to Dionysus being the god of Greek theater.
Fair enough. Yeah. I really like it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that works better than Plastic Man. So that's the last thing that we're going to end on, folks. We're going to end this list on Dionysus is the Joker, because we could do whatever the fuck we want.
Because we are Greek gods. No, not.
But we're talking about Greek gods. Oh yeah. David is. We all knew this from the beginning. Yeah, this is why I have to keep on praising him in all of his intros. Otherwise, he'll smite me.
Smite.
Okay. Someone's letting power get to their head.
How do you smite someone? I thought you just sort of pointed at them and went, smite.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work like that, I'm afraid, David. I'm terribly sorry.
Anyway, moving swiftly on.
So that's the Justice League / Greek Gods comparison mashup extravaganza. And, you know what? Honestly, going into it, I thought, okay, some of these are going to make sense, others are not. But there were more comparisons than there were differences, although the differences do starkly stand out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there will be differences. These are clearly different characters created thousands of years apart. And I guess calling the gods characters might be a little disrespectful, but...
Not really. No one's worshipping Zeus anymore, let's be honest.
Right, but we are going to Comic-Con and, you know, praying at the... You know, the
altar of fucking Marvel and DC.
Yeah, I mean, and if you think about, like, the way that we treat the superheroes, especially, you know, lately, it has really become these myths. And much of the same way as the myths are told over and over, and, you know, with slight changes, you know, we get the same stories from the same, from Batman over and over again with slight changes, and the same stories from Superman over and over again with slight changes.
Because they've got terrible writers!
And they have Zack Snyder. But anyway, the main point of this article was really to draw this point, and I'd originally written it as a full essay just saying, you know, these are how the comics are the modern myths. But I think when you put it in this full comparison like this, it's much clearer, and you really can see that, you know, just like the Greek gods are high up on Mount Olympus, so too are the Justice League, you know, out in the atmosphere in the Watchtower, looking down on us mere mortals and deciding our fates for us.
Yeah, basically being dicks, like the gods of old. Not much has changed.
Beautifully said.
Yeah. As I think we're going to wrap it up there, folks. Just one last thing. We've got another quick announcement, don't we, David?
Yes, we do. So today we are recording on May 21st, but I think we're going to be releasing in a few days, in 10 days, I think. Anyway, but just
you'll
today,
get it when you get it, Capers. Be patient.
We've already listened to the episode, Scott. Anyway, today and going on all summer long is the Ghost City Comics Competition, which A Place to Hang Your Cape and Pod Capers are proudly sponsoring.
Woo!
So this is a competition that is open to all comic creators around the world, and it's an opportunity for get your work seen by some of the top comics talent out there. The judges on this competition are people from Image, Marvel, DC, IDW, all the big names that you've heard of. You can find all the details at ghostcitycomics.com, but briefly, there's three categories. You can submit a one-page comic, a short story, or a single issue. And there's some fantastic prizes, including publisher feedback from Action Lab Comics and Alterna Comics, reviews on sites like Comic Bastards, Outright Geekery, and, of course, A Place to Hang Your Cape. And finally, the three big winners in each category will be invited to be guests on an episode of Pod Capers.
You lucky sods! You could win a chance to be on this show with me! Fall on your knees and pray for this glory.
So if you're interested in checking out the competition, head over to ghostcitycomics.com. We'll have an ad on the site as well. You can check it all out. It's a really great competition. Check out the judges. Check out the sponsor. It's going to be we're really looking forward to seeing some really good comics come out of this.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun for everyone involved. All right, so bear that in mind. Bear in mind, we've got a Patreon. And thank you very much for joining us, Capers. And of course, as well, thank you very much to my very special guests, Mark and David. Thank you guys for putting up with me.
I think I'll go take a cold shower now. Until next time, we have to have this madness and debacle that we call Pod Capers.
Yeah. You got to space these things out.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, thank you.
As always, it was a great time, Scott.
Not at all. I'm glad you had fun. Now, so also, thank you very much to Dan Harris for our logo, that lovely little microphone with the red and blue specs on. Those are mine. And also, bear in mind, you can listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, or, of course, at aplacetohangyourcape.com. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever your favourite podcasting app is so you can hear my lovely voice each week. Of course, as I said, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all that sort of stuff, at AP2HYC, using the hashtag PodCapers, blah, 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 blah. Now, as I said last week, we are on the Weeby Geeks and the Tangent Bound Network. You can find us there. We're all part of a big podern family. Oh, I love that pun. That pod pun. That pawn. That doesn't really work. Now, if you didn't like that pun, fair enough. But if you did like the show, share it to all your nerdy followers on social media. Tell your friends. Leave us reviews on iTunes. We want to get your feedback. Unless, you know, they're negative, in which case, fuck off! No, I'm just kidding. Now, as I said last week as well, we are still looking for writers. Do you want to write for us? Go to www.aplacetohangyourcape.com/write. You could write for our site and spread your wonderful opinions out on the internet. And who knows, maybe somewhere down the line you might end up on this show as well. So speaking of this show, this has been Pod Capers, the official podcast of A Place to Hang Your Cape. Cue the music!